It's time to unleash your inner cowboy with the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Now here's your host, Alyssa Barnes.
Hello and welcome to episode 45 of the Earn Your Spurs podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa Barnes. I'm excited to introduce you to today's guest. He's somebody who takes non-cowboys and sort of makes them more cowboy-like, but not with horses or the way that we would normally think about that. You may have heard of Jim Owen and his books, Cowboy Ethics, Cowboy Values, and The Try. But you may not be familiar with the Center for Cowboy Ethics that actually puts on workshops and speaking events to help people develop those core values that the cowboy possesses. As you know, I always ask my guests at the end of the show what they think the most important quality is for any cowboy to have. And the answers I get are not normally, you know, the ability to rope a steer or ride a horse. It's usually a little deeper than that. Integrity and honesty, the willingness to help others. And that is what the Center for Cowboy Ethics is all about. So today I have the executive director of the Center for Cowboy Ethics on the show. And without further ado, allow me to introduce you to Kent Noble. Kent, thank you so much for being here today. I'm really excited to have you on the show.
It's my great pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah. So I'd love to just kind of start off today and talk a little bit about your personal background and how you got involved with the Center for Cowboy Ethics.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I was working at the University of Wyoming, and I had been there a number of years. I started there in the athletics department, actually, and then had moved over to the College of Business, and I was the assistant dean, kind of the external person for the College of Business. And one of the university's good donors had connected with a gentleman by the name of Jim Owen. And Jim is a former Wall Street guy. And Jim had had a long, nice career on Wall Street, but had really, I guess you could say, he had become disgruntled with the way business was being conducted. So he decided to get out, and he broke away, sold out of his firm. And what he did was he decided he wanted to, I guess you could say, improve business ethics. And so what he did is he decided he wanted to write a book, and he based it on his childhood heroes, which were, of course, these iconic cowboy figures of his youth. Jim's in his 70s right now, and he'll tell you that when he was a young guy, he used to go to the Saturday matinee, and up on the big screen, you know, were these cowboy figures, these larger-than-life cowboy figures like Gene Autry and Roy Rogers. And so those were his heroes. And Jim decided when he broke away from Wall Street that he wanted to write a book based on these iconic cowboys, and ended up calling the book Cowboy Ethics. And really, the book resonated with people in such a way that it became a bestseller. So Jim was traveling all around the country talking to businesses and business leaders about ethics. And on his travels, he ended up coming to Wyoming. And that's where he connected with this great friend of our college, a very good donor. And our donor introduced us to Jim. And so that's where my relationship with Jim Owen, the author of Cowboy Ethics, started. And, well, there were just a series of events that happened that led to me eventually joining Jim at the center. And I can go into more detail on those if you'd like.
Well, I'm really kind of curious what it was that sort of drew you into the organization, what it was that sort of, you know, struck a chord with you.
Sure. Great question. Well, you know, after I met Jim and we struck up a relationship, Jim really... he really started to, I guess, appreciate the people of Wyoming. He had written this book with 10 principles in the book that he called The Code of the West. And Jim just really believed that the people of Wyoming kind of naturally embraced this code through their actions. And so he said to us, you know, I'd love to work with the College of Business and create a film about Wyoming and its people. And so I was, I guess you could say, spearheading that project for the College of Business. And so I was working very closely with Jim as we produced this film. And it ended up being a half-hour film that won some recognition among some film festivals. And once the film was done and shown and premiered, things just really started to happen.
Interesting.
In fact, if I might just tell you that the film led to the state of Wyoming, 40 days after we premiered this film, the state of Wyoming moved to adopt the 10 principles in Jim's book as the official code of the state. And shortly after that happened, there's an organization called the Wyoming Chamber Partnership, and that's like an umbrella organization over all the chambers of commerce around Wyoming. They came to us and they said, you know, would it be possible to create a program for Wyoming's business leaders, some type of workshop, so that we could, you know, teach them more about this code and cowboy ethics? And so I, too, was put in charge of that project for the college. And we did. We created a workshop. And long story short, Alyssa, the workshop just, I guess you could say it almost went viral. It started spreading well beyond Wyoming. And that's where my passion for the project and for cowboy ethics really caught fire, because I just enjoyed the process of working on that film and developing the workshop and the reactions and the feedback we were getting to that workshop.
That's awesome. I mean, it's amazing to me to think how popular something like that became. I mean, I love the idea behind it, and that, you know, so many people can benefit from adopting that code that you're talking about. And that's really, really amazing.
Well, you know, that what's interesting about the code that Jim came up with, those 10 principles in the Code of the West, it's a great code. I love it. Some businesses have adopted it. Some people have adopted it. But what we do in this workshop that we've developed, we call the workshop, by the way, Standing Tall, What Do You Stand For? We talk about Jim's code that he came up with. But really, Alyssa, what we do is we take our participants through a process where they develop their own personal code. It's a code they can live by both personally and professionally. And so we take them through a series of exercises, and they end up creating 8 personal principles. And it's, I think we do a nice job of connecting with people on this emotional and inspirational level.
Well, for those who may not be familiar with the code itself, can you kind of take us through the different pieces of it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So this is the first, maybe what I could do is take you through the 10 principles in the Code of the West that Jim came up with. And then if there's time and if you'd like to hear, I could also take you through just real quickly the 8 principles that we work on in these workshops that we do.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, so the 10 principles that Jim came up with, and again, remember, these are kind of the what he thought were the core values of his iconic cowboy heroes from his youth. So the 10 he came up with, the first is live each day with courage. Number 2, take pride in your work. Always finish what you start. Do what has to be done. Be tough, but fair. When you make a promise, keep it. Ride for the brand. Talk less and say more. Remember that some things aren't for sale, and know where to draw the line. So again, these were kind of those principles that Jim said, man, that's how my cowboy heroes of my youth lived. And those are the principles that really inspired me as a kid. And really, they still inspire me today. So that's the code that he came up with.
Yeah, that's definitely, so basic, but so powerful at the same time.
I would agree with you. So we reference this code, and we certainly talk about it and why Jim came up with it and how he came up with it in our workshop. But then what we do, Alyssa, is I guess I would describe them as pods. We have these 8 little exercises that we do. And the first one is we help our participants come up with their integrity principle. You know, quite simply, what is your word worth, and what inspires you to want to live a life of integrity? And then number two, we put our participants through this, I guess you could call it a little self-evaluation exercise where you evaluate your strengths and your weaknesses. And then what we end up doing after that exercise is we attack one of our weaknesses. And then number three, we do a principle about the most important thing in your life, whatever that it happens to be for you. And then our fourth exercise is we take this like a macro look at our lives, and then we zoom in and we focus like a laser beam and come up with our gratitude principle. Our fifth principle is our attitude outlook principle. And that's basically, how do you want to see the world and how do you want the world to see you? And then number six, we have our community service principle. And that's all about making the place where you live just a little bit better through your actions. We come up with a principle for that. And then finally, we've got two left. We have something we call the try principle. And the try principle is all about effort. You know, what kind of effort are you willing to put into your life, into your career, into your family to make it a success? And then we wrap up our session with our impact principle. And we ask our participants, how will we know you were here? How are you going to leave your mark? How will you make a difference? And so those eight principles takes about 3 hours to get through this process. And again, it's just a real meaningful experience for our participants.
Yeah, I bet it is. And you guys are also doing some of this education in schools as well, aren't you, with kids and teachers?
Yeah, here's what's happening on that front, Alyssa. We don't actually do that work, but we have partnered with a teacher in Denver and the Boys and Girls Club of Central Wyoming, and they use Jim's intellectual property, I guess you could say, his materials, his cowboy ethics, cowboy values, the try. They use those materials to help develop a curriculum for kids. And boy, what's going on in Denver is completely different from what's going on with the Boys and Girls Club, but both seem to be very effective. And so while we're not actively involved in those programs, we're certainly big cheerleaders and we do everything we can to support their efforts. If I could say one more thing about the Boys and Girls Club of Central Wyoming, they have actually now developed a curriculum, K through 12, and they have also developed a train the trainer program. So they actually will have youth educators come to their facility, and they put them through this, I believe it's a day or two, training process. And they've now trained 150 youth organizations over a 6-state region, and they're reaching 60,000 students. So really remarkable impact.
Yeah, that's amazing. What do you think is the importance of kids especially, but anyone really, learning these principles and learning how to apply them to their lives?
Well, I'll start with adults, I guess. You know, before I got involved with Cowboy Ethics and our Standing Tall program, you know, certainly I didn't have a code. In fact, Alyssa, if you would have asked me, Kent, what do you stand for? Frankly, I think I would have struggled with that question. And so what we're able to do, I feel, is help people bring those values to the surface so that they can clearly articulate, you know what? This is what I stand for. This is why. And here's what I'm doing about it. You know, here's how I'm living my life in a way that reflects it. So I think we do a good job with that process with our adult participants. As far as the youth go, you know, frankly, there's just a lot of kids that are struggling these days. Nationally, about 1 out of 3 kids don't make it through high school. They drop out. And, you know, if a kid doesn't make it through high school, what chance do they have to experience success? I'd say it's almost zero. So, you know, by talking about values and what's important and what it is you stand for and how to achieve success and what effort, attitude, and integrity are all about, I think a lot of times we're just able to have a dialogue with these kids that maybe they're not getting elsewhere. And hard to argue with some of the results that, or some of the feedback we hear from the organizations that are working with kids and using these programs.
That's really interesting. And, you know, when I do this show, I always ask my guests at the end what they think is the most important quality for any good cowboy to have. And you know, the answers I get, I get different answers, but a lot of them go back to those values that you talked about, the code that Jim came up with, and especially that ability to try, you know, that attitude of never giving up and always, you know, giving it all you've got. And I know he wrote a book just on that. So, you know, I think in this day and age, it's like people sort of have this idea of the younger generation not having that ability, or, you know, just not having that toughness and that willingness to just give it all they've got. And so I'm just curious about what your opinion is on that and how you think that the message that you're putting out there is impacting that.
As far as youth go?
Yeah, especially youth.
Well, I would agree with you that we call it grit. I think, or try. I think that's a critically important element to one's success. I don't think it's the only one, but it is a very important one. And, you know, I've worked with a lot of kids over the years, coaching baseball and such, and I have three kids of my own, still all at home. And, you know, you see kids that have the try and grit, and many who don't, who almost in some cases it feels like maybe a culture of entitlement. And, you know, we are about being self-reliant. We think that's a very important quality in a person. And, you know, I'm not sure I would know how to teach someone grit. I actually spoke a little bit about this yesterday in a workshop I conducted, and kind of the question came up. And, you know, at least as far as adults go, I think one important thing, if you're trying to develop a little more grit, is to maybe think about what it is that are your life priorities and or what I call your non-negotiables, and then try to focus your efforts in those areas. For example, you know, I would tell you that my non-negotiables, my life priorities would be my faith, my family, what I feel is my calling, which is my work, and then my health. Those are the four areas where I really focus probably about 99% of my time. And I think if a person can kind of create a little focus on things that are the most important to them, that might help them, you know, develop some of that grit attitude or that try attitude. Another, I think, kind of effective way to do that is we all have key people in our lives, people that are really important to us and meaningful to us and people we don't want to let down. I think it's a good idea to maybe tell those people what you're trying to accomplish. Tell them what your goals are, because, man, now you've got a little bit of pressure on you because you don't want to let these people down. And then I won't ramble on too much longer about this, but the other one I would say is we really have to commit ourselves to taking full responsibility, because we're really the only ones that can write our life story. Nobody else is going to do that for us. So I don't know. Somehow we have to communicate those messages, I think, to our youth and just make them realize that, hey, nobody's going to hand us anything. We've got to go out there and earn it.
Right. Well, why do you think that the cowboy you know, sort of has these inherent qualities. And obviously, you know, we're all different and not everybody's going to have all of these qualities at the same level and everything. But when you see kids that grew up on a ranch and learned, you know, that work ethic, and they sort of have that try and that grit instilled in them, you know, it's not something that's really conscious. It just happens. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that the cowboy, the, you know, the iconic, you know, tough guy, how does he just have all these qualities? What is it about him that just is able to develop this?
Well, I'll begin by saying, you know, I did not grow up in that kind of environment. I grew up in Wyoming, but I certainly didn't grow up on a farm or a ranch. But when I was at the University of Wyoming, in my capacity there, I certainly came in contact with a number of youth who did grow up in those environments. And I don't have any scientific results that I can offer you, but I can tell you my observations is you're absolutely correct. Those kids do have try. They do have an unbelievable work ethic. I'm not saying they're always maybe the most polished kids. Some are, some aren't. But I tell you what, give me that kid that's going to give me, you know, integrity, attitude, and that grit. I'll take that person every day of the week. And you're right, they do. I noticed it. I've talked about it before. Somehow those kids that are close to the land and who have grown up working hard and it was just expected of them and, you know, didn't feel put out by it, they take those skills with them when they leave home and they go to college or into the working world. It's a fact.
Yeah, it is amazing to just, I don't know, it's kind of a mystery. Like, obviously, not everybody gets the opportunity to grow up in that way. So, you know, how do we go about instilling those values in people that don't grow up in that way? And that's what you guys are trying to do, you know, and I think that's great.
Yeah, it's just part of the culture of that environment that they grow up in. And you're right, it's kind of hard to duplicate other places because that's a unique environment. And I tell you, I wish my kids were growing up that way.
Yeah, it's almost like every kid needs to have a chance to experience at least a summer or two on a ranch somewhere.
Alyssa, I agree with you. I really do. I agree with you. I think we would have all benefited from that, those of us who didn't grow up in that environment.
And I almost wonder sometimes if it's, you know, there's lots of people that know how to work hard, obviously. It's not just the cowboy. There's plenty of people that are out there building stuff and, you know, putting their back to it, and, you know. But I feel like there's something about when you're a caretaker for the land and the animals and, you know, the livestock, that just kind of goes deeper and gets in your blood, it's part of who you are. It's not just a job. It's like part of your psyche almost. And maybe that's why it creates that drive that maybe wouldn't normally be there.
Yeah. I wish I could explain it. And because I don't have that experience, it would be hard for me to, but I also agree with you that there are a number of people who really have an unbelievable work ethic who didn't grow up in that environment. But I do think if you did, it's an advantage. I really do. I believe that.
Yeah. You don't really have a choice that, you know, when the cows have to be fed, they have to be fed.
Yeah. And I think once you get to, you know, in our case, once those students come to the University of Wyoming, probably the work that they have to do in their studies isn't so bad in comparison to some of the work they had to do when they were growing up. In some ways, I think it's almost like the Greatest Generation. I look at that group of people who went and fought for our way of life, and how when they came back and then just had to earn a living, well, you know, in comparison to what they had just been through, no wonder so many of them were wildly successful. I think, you know, in comparison, it was relatively easy compared to what they had been through.
Yeah. And I know plenty of people who, you know, grew up on a ranch and think college is the best thing ever.
Well, I'm only in class 4 hours a day and then maybe another 4 hours of homework. This is easy.
Exactly. Well, I'm curious, Kent, what are you guys working on? What are some of the goals that you're working on as an organization now? And, you know, how can people get involved?
Okay. I told you a little bit about our Standing Tall program. That's the workshop that I spend so much time conducting and had developed. I just recently developed a new program that I'm really excited about as well. In fact, I just did the first one of those yesterday for a company called Otterbox. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them or not, but
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So did the first one for them yesterday, and it's about personal branding and you know what it is you stand for, and we focus on integrity, attitude, and grit in that one. But it's completely different from our other workshop, the Standing Tall workshop. As for Jim, he has a project that he's working on that he's very excited about, but it's a total departure from what he has been doing. You know, he wrote Cowboy Ethics and Cowboy Values and The Try. And then most recently, he just put out a 10th anniversary edition of Cowboy Ethics. I don't know if you were familiar with that or not, but he did. He just put that out in September. But now he's working on, believe it or not, a fitness book. And it's for people who are entering their 70s, because Jim's a very fit guy. I mean, he really got after it as he saw 70 approaching. And so he's become very fit. And so he's writing a book about that. So a little departure from what he has been working on. But I'm excited to see how that turns out.
I saw Jim several years ago. He did a talk in Reno, and it was great. I got to meet him, and he signed my book for me, I think, and he was awesome. Do you guys still do a lot of those? Does Jim go speak around the country at different places?
Oh yes, absolutely. And he'll do about 30 speaking engagements a year. And, you know, it's interesting. There are times when we get to work together, where he'll do what Jim has is he has a really nice, impactful speech that's about 45 minutes. And then I have my workshop. And so, sometimes, we're lucky enough to where we get to work with a group together. And that's really fun. And then sometimes we do our own things. But yes, he's still very active on the speaker circuit.
And do you guys mostly do sort of private workshops and things with companies, or do you go to conferences, or how does that work?
Yeah, great question. It's a little bit of everything. Work with universities, work with corporations, nonprofits, associations. Sometimes we are the only presenters, or sometimes we're part of a conference, as you said. So yeah, all kinds of opportunities. I average about one event a week. And so yeah, we get out quite a bit.
Hmm. Do you still live in Wyoming?
No, you know, I'm in Colorado. I've been in Colorado now for 7 years. And I live, if you're familiar with northern Colorado, I'm in the Fort Collins area, mm-hmm. which yeah. is where Colorado State is.
Okay, yeah. And that's where Jim lives too, right?
He's actually in Austin, Texas.
Oh, he is. Okay.
Yes. So most of our communications via phone.
I was thinking... I know Josh Peek lives in Colorado, and he had done some work with Jim years ago. So I thought maybe Jim lived there too, but that's really neat.
He's a Texan.
I should have known
Not
that.
By birth. He was actually born in Kentucky, and he's lived a number of places, but he's been in Austin for a while now.
What's the difference between, the first and second book as far as, Cowboy Ethics and Cowboy Values?
Okay. I should also tell you that there's a difference between even the two cowboy ethics books.
Oh, okay.
You know, the first one kind of focused more on the business community. And, you know, the subtitle was What Wall Street Can Learn from the Code of the West. And the second one is more about, you know, how to experience success in your life and your career. So it's not so business focused. The new one is also exclusively hardback, and it's it's a gorgeous publication. He really did a nice job with it. Hard to believe it's been 10 years since the first Cowboy Ethics
book
was written. So really proud of him for the great work he did on that one, that's for sure. I'd like to do a Cowboy Ethics book at some point, by the way. I'd like to do one just kind of focusing on creating your own code. So watch for that to be happening at some point. Maybe, I don't know, maybe 2-3 years down the road. But I'd love to do one of those.
Yeah, that would be really neat. I think that's important. When you're looking towards any goal, whether it's in business or life or whatever, I think that's probably the primary thing you need to focus on is, you know, why you want to achieve it. And that sort of comes back to what we're all about as a person, what our personal code is.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. And, you know, you had asked earlier, well, I probably shouldn't get into it because you said you like to wrap up your interviews with that question. So I was going to jump into some thoughts on that, but I'll wait. I'm not trying to wrap it right yet.
Well, we're almost there. So you
don't have I might to send the wrong message by answering that question.
So what's the best way for people to find you and the Center for Cowboy Ethics online? And you know, what are some of the options we have?
Yeah. Okay. So, our website, which I think is gorgeous, is cowboyethics.org. And then we have a Facebook page, which is Living Cowboy Ethics. And we also have a Twitter account that is actually under my name, and it focuses kind of on the Standing Tall program, and that's @NobleKent. So @ my last name and then my first name, @NobleKent.
Okay, yeah, I'll include links to all of those
in the show notes
so people can find them.
Excellent.
Yeah, is there anything else that you want to add before we start to wrap up here?
Let's see here. No, not so much, Alyssa. I, you know, really appreciate the opportunity certainly to visit with you, though. This has been great. I told you I don't do many interviews. I'm not saying I'm asked a lot, but it's usually Jim ends up doing those. And so I really appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you. And now I'm going to give you the opportunity to answer that question that I know you're dying to answer. So what do you think is the most important quality for any good cowboy to have?
Okay, well, I won't limit this just to cowboys because I think these are qualities that we all need to have if we're really going to be a successful person in life. And I've mentioned them briefly before, but it all starts with integrity. I think we have to have integrity serving as the foundation of who we are. You know, if you think about building a structure, certainly you wouldn't want to build it if your foundation wasn't firm and stable and dependable, because that structure you're building would be at risk if there was something wrong with the foundation. Well, we feel like, you know, our integrity needs to be our foundation. And if that's not stable, I tell you what, Alyssa, our life at home and at work and in our community, that's at risk. So you've got to have that stable foundation of integrity. Next, I think you've got to have a great attitude. You've got to bring a great attitude every day. And that's just, it's so important. And when you really realize it's important is when something's going wrong, when things, you know, when the chips are down, when things look like they're stacked against you. But then you have that person that says, you know what? Sure, things aren't so great right now. But you know what? If this is the worst that ever happens to us, we've got it made. And that, you know, a person like that can just change the whole dynamics, and they can turn things around and make the group or the family or whatever it is feel like, you're right, let's get this done. So integrity, attitude, and then we've talked about it. Got to have grit, that perseverance. When you see that roadblock, you know, don't think, oh boy, this is going to derail me. No, this is an opportunity to get better when we figure out how to get around that roadblock. So integrity, attitude, and grit. Every good cowboy needs those qualities. Every good person needs those qualities. And if you have them, you know what? You're an all-star.
Yeah, that's a great answer to that question. And, you know, I just going back to that grit thing one more time, I think the way I look at things is if you know, there is no real failure. Obviously we learn from everything, but grit is the ability to be able to change course when you need to get the job done, whatever it is.
Yes, absolutely. And, there's a professor at the University of Pennsylvania. Her name is, the last name is Duckworth. Professor Duckworth, and she has done a lot of research in the area of grit. And if you visit the University of Pennsylvania's website, she even has a grit scale. And you can take this kind of this little exam and you can find out, you know, your level of grit. So you might want to visit the University of Pennsylvania's website, your listeners might, and they may be interested in finding out their level of grit.
Yeah, that's awesome. I will include that in the show notes too, because I would like to know my personal grit
level too. I think it's Angela Duckworth, if okay. I remember right. Dr. Angela Duckworth, I believe it is.
Very cool.
I apologize if that's incorrect. I know it's Duckworth, and I know it's University of Pennsylvania. And it's online, so.
we'll track it down, but great. That's cool. Well, thank you so much, Kent, for being here today. I really appreciate it, and I'm glad that we could make this happen.
Oh, Alyssa, it's been my great pleasure, and thank you for the opportunity.
I hope you enjoyed that episode with Kent Noble. I'm really excited about all the things that they're doing at the Center for Cowboy Ethics, especially some of those curriculum programs that are going on in schools that are developed after Jim's work. Now, if you have any questions or ideas for future episodes, please feel free to contact me through the contact form at earnyourspurs.com or reach out to me on Facebook or Twitter at EYSpurs. And I really appreciate you listening in on this episode of the Earn Your Spurs podcast, and I will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Until next time, happy trails and spur on.